So our next stop takes us to the 1930s, where we have Alcaston House in Spring Street, which is a very interesting building for a number of reasons. And I'll mention the first one, sorry to blow your thunder, which is the mixed-use idea, right?
Yeah, it's probably one of Melbourne's first mixed-use buildings. Mm-hmm. And so it combined medical suites, cafes, things like that at the bottom, and then residential over the top. Which is very unusual for Melbourne, but a model brought from Europe.
Yes, and a combination also of tenancies for professionals, right? So there's also a medical
flavour
to this building, including in the ornamentation of the building that has sculptures of the Greek gods of medicines, I understand.
Didn't know that. Yeah. There you go. The original site was the home of a doctor in Melbourne, so he occupied his premises from this site. So he was the developer, and he decided that he would build this mixed-use building, but he wanted it to have a lot of medical suites in it, and it became a place that almost represented how important the medical profession was at the top end of Collins Street, because it was occupied by a lot of really important practitioners. It was designed, we haven't mentioned the architects, it was designed by A and K Henderson, who were, architectural lineage in Melbourne is an interesting thing. A and K Henderson were responsible for TNG building as well, this one, several other buildings, and the partners, what you find is the partners of these buildings were linked with others, with others, with others, and there is a link, eventual link, to Yonke and Freeman as well. So there's some very interesting connections that you find through the architectural practices of who worked in those places and went on to become
directors. The genealogy. Of expertise,
yeah,
and ownership sometimes.
Yeah. So now this is in the Renaissance Revival style with, in fact, a very modern framework. Like, this would have been very modern.
It was also a concrete framework, which for the day was quite innovative too.
That's very true.
Yeah. A concrete structure and an E-shaped plan that has this interesting, you know, treatment of the frontage that becomes bigger, I suppose, on the street, but also to provide light and prevent having too much darkness and depth, you know, in the floor plate.
When you look at the floor plan of these apartments, the upper level apartments, they are still incredible apartments because the way that they're designed is every apartment has got very light from more than one side. They've got cross ventilation. They get light from a light court, and it's an incredibly attractive and amenity filled home for those who chose to live in apartments. It's seven levels over a basement, and it's probably one of Melbourne's very first high-rise. It would have been high-rise in the 30s when it was done. High-rise residential buildings. And in a way, it came from the post-war in Melbourne where we had a lot of immigration and a lot of migrants who had lived in cities where this is the type of building they lived in.
The building was crowned with a pergola, so there was an interesting feature also of a roof garden.
It had a roof terrace, and actually still has. So there, it was a fantastic roof terrace which had yet big timber pergolas, and there were pots with geraniums and various other, small-scale garden type of plants up on the roof. And interestingly, there's been a recent permit granted by Heritage Victoria, and apparently the roof gardens are going to be reinstated.
That's cool.
And the pergolas are going to be reinstated.
So there's almost a Mediterranean flavour about this building to some extent, right? And it's, as you said, it's fitting in, I suppose, acknowledging also the migration of the 1930s, as well as the famous Paris end of the city,
of course,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you would say it is quite, I don't know, yeah, quite a Parisian building, really, the model. I suspect you would find quite a lot of buildings like this in Paris, certainly of this scale. It's interesting, the colour and the window breakup. Again, you'll see that pickup of the windows from the heritage. So even though it's modern, as much as the 30s were modern at the time, it chose to pick up the same kind of fenestration, window breakup, mass opening, that kind of relationship or compositional relationship that you see in old Treasury. And then the colour that was chosen for it was the idea, even though it is obviously, it's not stone, but it was chosen to complement the sandstone facades of the Treasury precinct so that it looked like it was part of this precinct.
Very clever.